Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We come to worship the God of all seasons, of all days, and all nights, the giver of all good gifts. Again, welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're pleased that you're here this morning. Those of us who are here week in and week out, we'll try to seek out those folks we don't know and shake your hand, welcome you. And if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find one of us and you introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you and we would love it if you would make a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. There are lots of ways to do that, and one is simply to look at your bulletin insert. Give you lots of options. I'm going to lift up just a few things this morning. We are beginning this Sunday our legacy campaign, which is our capital campaign. Some of you have already received packets, but in your bulletin, you'll find a yellow card. If you haven't received a packet, if you would put your name on that card, as you leave the sanctuary today, you'll exchange it for this packet of information. And that way, we'll have the names of all the folks who've already received it, and we won't have to mail you one. Trying to be good stewards of our mailing costs as well. So put your name on here, trade it for this, one per family, please. Also, a part of our legacy campaign includes, and you can read about this on the insert, fragments of the glass that were taken from the windows when these were repaired some years ago. You can go to Bishop's Parlor, you can choose a piece of glass, you can attach a sticker with your name on it, and we are going to, I say we, an artist is going to create a window. Not to be placed in the wall, but to be placed somewhere out in a public area where we can enjoy it for years to come. So that's a part of it as well. You know, a legacy is something you just receive. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a gift. What you can do is take care of it so you can pass it along. Today, we're about taking care of the legacy so we can pass it along, not to just our children, but to our children's children's children.
Asks the angel when told she would have a child.
How can this be?
Nicodemus asked Jesus when told he would be born again.
How can this be?
When bad and good things happen, we ask God.
How can this be?
How do we see God at work, connecting and transforming our lives? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to be in union with Christ and each other. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love.
We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. How can this be? That's an Advent reading. That's a Christmas reading. Come on, this is October. This is not a Halloween reading. Right? What in the world are they doing reading this text on this day? Well, this is the first week of our legacy campaign. All the month of October, on each Sunday, we're going to be talking about God's generosity and God's gifts. I think there is probably no greater gift that God has ever given the world than God's love embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. No more generous love has ever been known. And this is the story of how it came into the world, all because of a young Jewish girl. Now, when the angel appeared to Mary, she may not have had any sign that he was an angel at all. You see, we think of angels with wings and white robes, but angel in the Greek simply means messenger. He could have just been one other stranger who appeared and greeted her as if she were a queen. "Hail, O favored one, God is with you." She was much perplexed by that. I would have been too, and she was probably a little bit scared. Because the very next thing the angel says is, "Don't be afraid." Maybe you saw it on her face. Because you see, the message he was about to deliver, the gift that she was about to receive, was not a gift that she had asked for or prayed for. It was not a gift that she wanted. She was betrothed, but she was not married. She did not want to be told that she was going to have a child. Not at this point. As the angel goes on to describe how this child is going to grow, what this child is going to do, it becomes pretty clear to Mary, who could have been as young as 13, 14, that this is going to require something of her. It's going to require that she be willing to give up and let go of pretty much everything in her life. She's going to have to let go of her reputation. She may have to let go of this marriage. The punishment for adultery was stoning to death. She might have to give up her life. And finally, the gift that she was about to receive was not something she would be able to hold on to. This was a gift not to Mary alone, but to the world. You see, it seems to me that this story is the most characteristic story of how God gives gifts. You see, we have grown up in a consumer society where we think everything is a transaction. Okay, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Or I'll do this for you if you do that for me. Doesn't work that way. If this story is any indication, and I think it is, often the gifts of God are things that we did not ask for. We did not pray for. We did not want. But they're still gifts. They come as gifts. Not as burdens. Not as punishments. Gifts. And one of the reasons that we don't ask for them, and one of the reasons that we don't pray for them and want them, is that God's gifts usually require something of us. Sometimes it requires that we give up something. A life that we thought would be. A career that we thought would be. And finally, when God gives gifts, they are never for ourselves alone. Remember early on, God told Abraham and Sarah, your descendants will be blessed in order to be a blessing to all nations. That's always attached. If we are blessed, it's to be a blessing to others. If we are given gifts, they're not to keep to ourselves, but they are to pass along to others. And God's generosity requires a response. Mary's first response, of course, is, how can this be? How can this incredibly crazy thing be? We've been asking that ever since, haven't we? And we ask it every time we receive one of those gifts from God that we didn't particularly desire. How can this be is a variation of why me? Why me? Why now? Why couldn't this be after the marriage? Why couldn't this be easier? Why couldn't this require less? As we talk about legacies, we receive so many legacies from our forebears. The hymns we sing, the scriptures we read, this place of worship. So many things that we just receive as a gift. A gift from God and a gift from our ancestors. But like every gift from God, it requires something of us. And what it requires of us is not for ourselves alone. This legacy campaign is about a great deal more than just raising $4.7 million. That's the goal. It's about cultivating a culture of generosity, a culture of gratitude, a culture that can move beyond how can this be? Because you see, when we receive this gift, we're expected to take care of it. We're not building a new building. We're taking care of what we already have because we haven't been able to take care of it in the past. Why? We haven't had the money. And so we're going to try to stop the water from coming in. We know how to do it. And then we're going to repair the damage where the water has already come in. You've seen it if you've been around the church much at all. We're going to try to make this a safer place for children and for adults to gather. We're going to try to make every classroom a place where children, youth, and adults can actually learn the way people learn in the 21st century, not the way they learned 50 years ago. And we're going to do a lot more. When you trade in this yellow card, you'll get a packet. It's got a whole list of projects. It's got a whole list of gifts. You can read that on your own. But the question arises, it may have arisen to you already, certainly does to me. If gifts are given so that we share that with others, why are we spending all this money on ourselves? That's a very good question. A part of that can be answered by saying we still want a place where we can host folks who are experiencing homelessness in Room of the Inn. We still want a place where 12-step groups can meet. We still want a place where the Sunny Day group, giving respite to caregivers of persons with dementia, can still gather. We still want a place where we can study and learn and worship and be formed into the image of Christ. You might compare this to prenatal care. I know that's a stretch in a couple of ways. One way is I am way out of my area of expertise here. As a male, I've observed it, but I've never experienced it. But we all know how important prenatal care is if healthy babies are to be born. The same principle applies when you get on an airplane. And the attendant comes on the loudspeaker and says, in case of an emergency and the oxygen masks drop down, put your own mask on first before you put the mask on your child. Is that selfish? No. Because if you pass out, you're of no good whatsoever to that child. If a mother doesn't take care of herself, if others don't see that she is taken care of, then the likelihood of a healthy birth is diminished. So this is taking care of this church that we have called mother for centuries and centuries and centuries. It's a little prenatal care. But it can't stop there, because you see, the gifts aren't just given for us. This is the place where we gather so we are inspired and educated and equipped to go out into the world to seek justice, do kindness, walk humbly with God, to serve those who are not served in any other way. If we don't do that, then we don't even need to be raising the money in the first place. The question is, what is God going to bring to birth next? If this is prenatal care, what will come out of this? The Interfaith Dental Clinic was birthed from this congregation. God can do it again. And I don't know what that is. And you don't know what that is. But we can figure it out. Because if we take care of this place, it's not just so we can have a pretty place to worship. It's not just so people will walk the halls and not notice where the water has come in and the paint is peeling. It is so we can have a place to equip us, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick and imprisoned, so we can do what Jesus called us to do. Jesus, in a way following in his mother's footsteps, received a great gift. That gift was the calling to show God's love to the whole world, to embody that love. And I'm sure he did not pray to be crucified. In fact, I have it on good authority that he prayed for that bitter cup to pass from him, if possible. He knew it would cost him something. And he knew that this gift was not just for himself. And he left us a meal to remind us. And the reason we invite everyone to this table, everyone to this meal, is because we believe that everyone in the world should have an opportunity to encounter the transforming presence of the love of God. And one way of doing that is to take a piece of bread, to take a cup of juice. It's the simplest thing in the world. But it's a reminder. This is my body. This is my blood. This cost me something. Jesus said yes. I'm of the opinion that he could have said no, forget this, and walk away. Wouldn't history be different? We wouldn't be here. But he didn't. He said yes. Because you see, the last word in Mary's story is not, how can this be? The last word in Mary's story, as in Jesus, is, let it be with me according to your word. Now, Mary takes care of herself. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, an older relative. never having had children but 6 months ahead of her in the process. That's her prenatal care. But before any of that happens, she says, "Your will, not mine." Or perhaps that's what her son heard. "Let it be with me according to your word." I believe we can say that as well. Thanks be to God.
It is with great joy that I add my welcome to that you've already received here at West End, where we believe God loves everyone unconditionally. We're glad that you're here. If you're a guest, we invite you to join us after the service out these doors to your right for a time of fellowship and to meet a few people, answer some questions. If you are a first-time guest, there's a Bread for the Journey table. We invite you to stop by and pick up a small loaf of bread. If you're a college student, graduate or undergraduate, there's a college lunch every day after this service. It's on the third floor. I'm in room 322. It's the Fireside Lounge. They gather each week for faith conversations and fellowship. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a gray card. One side of that card is for prayer concerns or requests. You can check those either to be shared with the congregation and printed in a bulletin, or you can check confidential, and they'll be held in the close confidence of the pastoral prayer teams. The other side of that gray card is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership. After you complete those, you can put them in the offering plate when it comes by in just a moment. You also have an attendance pad that is at the inside of each pew. If you have not yet passed that down, please pass that down at this point. Go ahead and record your attendance, and then when it comes back by you, open it up, look at the names of the people you worship with. Say hello, call them by name after the service. Spend some time getting to know them. That's one great way to build the body of Christ in this congregation. And when those attendance pads return to their starting point, if whoever's there could tear out the pages that are written on and place them on top of the pad, that saves the hospitality teams a great deal of time in gathering those. God has graciously given us all that we have, and he's used oftentimes our spiritual ancestors to do that. And it's up to us to care for those. And as people of faith, let us return thanks through our own tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, giver of all good gifts, maker of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And we remember that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. After giving thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The body of Christ, broken for you and for the world. the blood of Christ poured out for you and for the world. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask you to come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. You're welcome to remain at the chancel rail for a time of prayer if you choose. And when you return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your seat for any reason, either catch the eye of one of us up here or catch an usher's eye, and we'll be glad to serve you there. Now, we take an offering at all of our communion services, and this month the offering goes to benefit West End's Child of Promise scholarships. On a mission trip to Honduras a number of years ago, our team discovered that women, young women, were having a very hard time funding their educational work there. And so out of that, this Child of Promise scholarship was developed in order to support them in their educational aspirations. So if you would like to contribute to that ministry, there are two plates right next to the front pews. You're welcome to leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please stand and join with me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Don't forget to turn in your yellow cards as you leave the sanctuary and go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.